Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It's on page 4 in this Bible. Thou will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy head, thou shalt crush his heel. Genesis chapter 9 and page 10 and from verse 8. Genesis 9 from verse 8. And God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living soul which is with you, fowl as well as cattle, and all the animals of the earth with you, of all that has gone out of the ark, every animal of the earth. And I establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. And henceforth there shall be no flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I set between me and you and every living soul that is with you for everlasting generations. I set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring clouds over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living soul of all flesh. And the water shall not henceforth become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living soul of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, This is a sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Gospel of John in chapter 3. It's on page 1269. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Very well known verse. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. And finally, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's on page 1390. 1390. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 18. Now God is faithful, that our word to you is not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he who has been preached by us among you, by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, did not become yea and nay, but yea is in him. For whatever promises of God there are, in him is the yea, and in him the amen, for glory to God by us. I'd like to speak tonight a little on promises. We live in a world of broken promises, and every single one of us know what it is to either have broken a promise or to have been one who knows what it is that a promise has been broken to them. As children, we often promise our parents that we'll behave, promise that we know can never be kept. But promises can be broken the other way as well. Always promises are broken. We are all sinners. Impossible for us to keep promises. We live in a world of broken promises. Whether it be from politicians, school teachers, parents, children, at every level of society, promises are broken. When we come to God, we come to one who has never broken a promise, whose word is sure, is stable, is eternal. One who always fulfills his promises. Promises to you, to me. Promises to every man, woman and child. God's promises are sure and are eternal. So I've read of the first promise that was made. I've read of probably the most famous promise, covenant promise, in Genesis. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy head, and thou shalt crush his heel. This is a testimony, a word that God gives at the very beginning to tell the world that Jesus was going to come. We sang of it. As soon as the reign of sin began, the light of mercy dawned on man. Think of it. Think of God's garden. Think of the perfection of all that he created. Think of the beauty of his creation. Lasted not very long before there was disobedience came about. Whole world thrown into chaos. The chaos of sin. By one small, simple action. Really, by the breaking of a promise. God had said to Adam and Eve to not to touch. I'm sure they said, we won't do that. We'll not touch. We have everything that we need. We won't need that tree. But they broke the promise. They broke the covenant that God had made. And therefore, sin came in. Think of how God must have felt. You know, I was thinking on it a little. Think you, I don't know, you get a new car and there's a scratch made on it. Or a toy and it gets broken. In some small way, and I mean very small. Think of the feelings that we have in relation to these things. But there God must have felt. The perfect creation that he had and man placed in the garden in perfect circumstances. How God must have felt about it being ruined. But is God taken aback? Is God surprised by what has happened? No, God knew all along. And God already had a plan. And so we have the promise that there is a day coming when there would be a seed of the woman who would crush Satan. Who would defeat the enemy. Right at the very beginning of incoming of sin. Before another minute, another day had gone past, God announced this news that there would be one coming. It was over 4,000 years before the Lord Jesus came. But the promise was there. And the promise of the Lord coming is throughout the whole of the Old Testament. God is pointing forward to Jesus. To what he would do. And that is how God was able to go on for so long. The promise was always there. It might have taken 4,000 years to be realized. But the promise was there. And God's word was sure. And Jesus did come. And we'll come on to that. Jesus did come. Came as God had said he would come. And he did the work that God had said he was going to do. So God's promises are always fulfilled. They're always sure. They're always certain. Genesis 8. Probably the most famous promise. The most famous covenant. One we see... not quite daily. One we've not seen much this summer, but one you will see. One often in the sky. This is the sign of the covenant. It's not just a phenomenon of the light shining through the water. This is God's promise to this earth, to you and I, to all flesh, that the world will never, ever again be flooded. And when God sees it, he is reminded. I think that's remarkable that he says that. When I see it, I will be reminded of the covenant that I made with Noah and his sons. Think of what Noah and his sons had lived through. 40 days and 40 nights of rain on the earth. Being tossed and turned in this boat that Noah had been asked to build. The ark settles, everything comes out of the ark. God builds this ark, this the altar, and God speaks to Noah. And he gives him this promise. It'll never happen again. And has it happened again? No. Again, 6,000 years of the earth has gone past. There's never been a flood like it. There will never be a flood like it because God's promises are sure. The earth will be destroyed, but will not be by flood. God's promises are sure and certain. We can trust every single word that this Bible says. If God has said it will be so, it will be so. take him at his word without the if exclaiming. Be cleansed. We don't have to read any second meaning into what God says. We don't have to try and decipher what he says. What he says is true and constant and without ambiguity. God's promises, God's word is sure and it's eternal. So we come on to John 3. The crux of the gospel message. For God so loved. We're affected by the giving of Jesus this morning, by all that he gave. It begins with the giving of God. For God so loved you and I. We can put our own names in here. The world is the people of the world. It's you and I. Everyone in this room, everyone in Aberdeen, everyone in the world, every single person is loved by God and loved so much that he gave nothing greater, nothing less, but nothing greater than the blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself. There was nothing more that God could have given to show how he felt about you, but his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have life eternal. That is a promise of God. There's no ifs, doubts or buts in there. It's not if you do this or but you must do this. God says if you believe on him you shall be saved. Each one of us are perishing. We're all sinners. Everyone in the world, from the moment we're born, we're perishing. That's just the way it is. We've all been born in sin and shaping in iniquity. To do wrong is in us. We can't do anything about it. We always will break promises. We will always say things that we surely mean to do, but we will not fulfill it. It's part of the human condition, and there is no healing of it. But God has promised that whosoever puts their faith and trust in Jesus, comes to God tonight in repentance, will be saved. Everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. What it is to have life eternal, what the promise of God is, dear friend, for you tonight, is that while you may be on the road to hell, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you've been given, you're granted eternal life. How can he do such a thing? God is a righteous God. He's a holy God. His word is sure and certain. He abhors sin. He abhors what we are as sinners and away from him. God, I've often heard the expression that God loves you just as you are. I think it's a better thing to say that God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to stay as you are. God has given his only begotten Son. He knows our histories. He knows what we are. He knows our futures. He knows what sins we're going to commit before we do. But God gave his only begotten Son. The cost was immense. There was a price to be paid. That price was the Lord Jesus Christ. That price was him being lifted up to die. That price was him being nailed to that cross, suffering the punishment, the judgment, the anger of God for sins that you and I had done, have committed, will commit. Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He died. I spoke of it this morning. He chose that way. He chose the way of suffering. chose the way of sorrow. He did not have to go that way. But if God, if we, you and I, were to know how a righteous, holy, sin-hating God felt about us, if we were to know the depths and fullness of his love, if we were to know the blessings of eternal life, then Jesus had to die. There was no other way. Jesus had to go the way of the cross. Think you that God would have spared not his son if by a creature the work could be done? The plan was in place before time began. It speaks of the blood of Jesus foreknown before the foundation of the world. We cannot take these thoughts in. We live in time. We're so bound by time. Everything we do is taken up with time. But God has come out of that eternal scene. He's come into time in the person of his Lord, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's created time. In order to work out his great thoughts. And time will cease to exist. This world will not go on and on and on, as some like to think it is. This world is not billions and billions and billions of years old, as some will like to tell you. This world was created by God for a purpose and for a time. This world will cease. The Lord Jesus himself says, "The world will pass away, my words will in no wise pass away." Think of the words of Jesus, the words of God, lasting forever. The promises of God. Jesus, the one who came to give effect to these promises. Think of the time it was. Speaks in Galatians that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. Think of the promise of God being fulfilled. Think of that holy child, Jesus, being born in Bethlehem's manger. Think of what it meant for the holy God to see his holy son here on earth. Think what it meant for him to see him growing up. And all these promises that had been made about Jesus. Yes, he would be born in Bethlehem, fulfilled. A scripture that was spoken years before the Lord Jesus came into the earth. Here he was, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a manger. Think of him growing up. Think of him as a boy of 12. Wish ye not that it should be about my father's business. Think of what it says. A body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do, O God, thy will. So what he came in to do was to do the will of God, to fulfill the promises that God had made to you and I. The promises that we would not be left in darkness, but that there would be a Saviour provided, a Saviour for the world. Not only just for the Jews, oh no, even in the Old Testament, while God is dealing with the Jews, there are promises made to you and I. We who had no part in what God had said to the Jews. They're a special people, Israel. But God was making promises to you and I individually too. And here he was, the man, Christ Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I have found my delight. And then to go on to the cross, to suffer as I've said, that whosoever believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. Why? God has made it so simple. Paul speaks about faith in Christ and repentance towards God. That's what it requires. To put your trust in him and to come to God in repentance. To say sorry for the things you've done. Not only to say sorry, but to turn around from them completely. To go in a different direction. To put your faith and trust. You know, there's a hymn that says, standing on the promises of God. Standing, it speaks of not falling. Because the promises of God are sure, they're certain. Find any other words in the world that you can stand on sure and certainly and say, I will not be moved. nothing else that has been written, nothing else that has been said has any foundation or stability at all. But God's words you can stand on and you can believe forever. I just read in 2 Corinthians for whatever promises of God there are in Him, that is in Christ, is the yea and the amen. Whatever promises God has made, they are sure and certain because of Jesus Christ. Sure and certain. The gospel is true. What Paul was preaching here to the Corinthians, what we're preaching tonight is the truth. Because it's based in Jesus Christ. Not based on man, not based on my word, not based on anything that I have done, but it's based on what Jesus has done. Based on the promises that God has made, the covenant that He has made now, the new covenant we speak of it, is based on what Jesus has done. Not based on anything you can do. The old covenant we speak of, the law, it required man to do something. It required you and I to keep rules and regulation. Required us to go after something that they could not do, that you and I can't do. But this covenant, this promise that God has made now is based on the finished work of Jesus. And all promises are fulfilled in Him, the yea and the amen. And so Paul could speak of Abraham and Sarah being fully persuaded that what he has promised, He is also able to do. Romans chapter 4. What He has promised, He is able to do. What a thing that is, you know. You look for peace. You look for joy. You look for comfort. You can find it all in Him. A peace of God that surpasses understanding, found in Christ. These are things that God promises to give you. Peace, joy, happiness. And it's not related to circumstances. It's something that's outside of circumstances. Because we have a faith and a trust in God, in our Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever He has promised to you, that is, the promises made throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, these promises that are made are true. And one day, as He has promised, we're going to see Jesus face to face. When all the sorrow, when all the things that affect us in this world will be done away with forever. And we're going to see Jesus face to face. Jesus is coming. That is a promise of God. He whom having not seen we love, He we await. He's coming again, and we're going to see Him. Is that your hope? Is it your belief? Is your faith and trust in Jesus? Have you laid hold of the promises of God for yourself? There's no, you can't rely upon anybody else. God has made these promises and wants to make this covenant with you. He has done everything for this covenant. Absolutely everything to ensure that this covenant is perfect, it's holy, it's wonderful. Whoever believes on Him may not perish, will not perish, but will have life eternal. Well, that's my simple impression. We live in a world of broken promises. Every day promises are kept, are made and broken. Man's word is as unstable as the sea. God's word, sure, certain. God's promises, absolutely concrete. Can never be moved. May we be standing upon these promises tonight. May we be sure that we have our faith and trust in Jesus. And for our Christian life, for our Christian pathway, while there are circumstances come along that may rock us, may we be fully persuaded that what God has promised, He is able also to do. May it be so for his name's sake.